Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the beginning, after that ancient serpent, the devil, had lied to Eve in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve had sinned against God, the Lord God cursed the serpent, cursed the devil, and then, in his grace, drew a dividing line between the devil and Eve, between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. You remember the verse from Genesis, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." There has been a great ongoing battle between these two sides ever since. The devil's side and God's side, and the side of those whom God brings onto his side. Today's gospel that you heard from John chapter 8 highlights the dividing line between those two sides. On the one side, the devil's side, we see the Jews, specifically the Jewish leaders, who had heard the word of Jesus and didn't believe it, who rejected him as the Christ sent from God to save sinners from sin, from death, and from the devil. On the other side of the line stands Jesus, the true seed of the woman, the Son of God and the Son of Man. And there with him on his side, really in him, are all those who are joined to him by holy baptism, linked to him by faith. We could never stand against the devil and his seed, but in Christ Jesus we will be victorious over them all. We take part in Christ's victory over the devil and his seed in today's gospel. There was a great back and forth that we hear. The Jews hurling their accusations against Jesus. Jesus with his own charges that he brings against them. With his own claims about himself and about those who believe in him. It's a beautiful sight to behold. Our champion standing against the forces of evil and defeating them by his word. Jesus, from the very beginning of his ministry, had been speaking nothing but the truth in agreement with all the Old Testament scriptures, proclaiming it before the whole world. All men are sinners. No sinner can keep God's holy law in such a way as to be justified by it or to earn God's favor by doing good things. But God is gracious. He sent his Son, the promised Messiah, into the world, into human flesh, to save sinful human beings by keeping God's holy law for them, by laying down his own life for them. Although the details of how he would suffer and die, Jesus revealed only to his own disciples. The one and only way, Jesus said, for anyone to be justified before God and saved from sin, from death, and from the devil, was by trusting in Jesus the Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Many in Israel heard that word of Jesus and rejoiced over it and did put their trust in Jesus, being thankful that God had had grace on them and had sent his Son for them. But the Jews in the gospel today in our text despised Jesus for saying such things. "We don't believe that you are who you say you are. We don't agree with your teaching. Therefore, you must be a sinner." But Jesus struck back at them in today's gospel "Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me?" It's easy to claim that Jesus is a sinner. It's another thing to demonstrate it, to show it from the Scriptures, where Jesus has said or done anything contrary to God's word. Of course, they couldn't do that, which meant that Jesus was telling the truth. But if he was speaking the truth, why didn't they believe him? And Jesus explains why. "He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear, because you are not of God." What does it mean to be of God? It means to be on the side of God. Here again is that dividing line between the devil's side and God's side, those who are of God. To be of God is to be born of God, either eternally begotten of the Father as Jesus himself was, or born again of water and of the Spirit. It means that if you hear the word of Jesus and believe in him as God's Son and trust in him alone for the forgiveness of sins, it's because God has begotten you. God the Father has drawn you to Christ by his Holy Spirit through the preaching of the word. He has brought you to repentance and faith and has thus given you new birth. But if you hear the words of Jesus and don't believe in him as God's Son, don't trust in him as the one mediator between God and man, it's because you have rejected the Holy Spirit's working in the Word. You've rejected the truth and chosen to believe a lie. In that case, as Jesus told the Jews before him that day, you still have the devil for a father, not God. There's the dividing line. And Jesus was not afraid to point it out. Those who are not on his side, which is God's side, are on the devil's side. Those who do not believe in him remain under God's condemnation. And that angered the Jews, of course. "Do we not rightly say that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Samaritans, remember, lived just a bit north of Judea. They followed a mixture of the Jewish faith and pagan religion. It was a religious slur for a Jew to accuse another Jew of being a Samaritan. And it was, of course, even worse to accuse somebody of having a demon. No, to the Jews, they were the owners of the Jewish faith, not Jesus. He disagreed with them, therefore he must be wrong. He must be on the devil's side. And isn't that what every religion really does? Claims to be the true religion while all the others are false. Although in our depraved times in which we live, even many supposedly religious people are happy to believe that all paths are equally good, and that all paths eventually lead to God in the end, another truly demonic teaching. Well, again, it's one thing to claim something, to claim to be on the side of God while the others are on the side of the devil. It's another thing to back up your claim with proof. And in this case, the only proof that will do is the unchangeable, always dependable truth of God's word. The Jews couldn't even begin to back up their accusations against Jesus from Scripture. "I do not have a demon," Jesus replied, "but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges." See, God the Father expects mankind to honor Jesus, to give him the glory he deserves. The glory of the Son of God who became man to be the Savior of mankind. The Father seeks glory for his Son and will certainly judge all those who refuse to give it. The dividing line is real. To oppose Jesus is to dishonor God the Father, the true God. That's why every religion that does not recognize Jesus Christ as true God and true man, sent from God to be the only Savior of the world, is a godless, worthless, demonic religion. Christ claims to be the only Savior, and the Christian faith claims to be the only saving faith, with everyone else lined up on the side of the devil. That's a rather bold and unpopular claim, isn't it? We make it not in pride, but in joy. Because in Christ, we have a Savior who can actually save. Jesus promises in the Gospel, "If anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Now the Jews recognized what a bold claim that was on Jesus' part. They knew that death was God's curse upon mankind since Adam and Eve's time. The only one who can undo death is the Lord God Himself who first imposed it. If Jesus is claiming to be able to undo death, then He must be claiming to be God. And of course, he was. Before Abraham was, I am. That's the name that God claimed for himself at the time of Moses. I am who I am. The Jews were right. Jesus wasn't yet 50 years old, not according to his humanity, but according to his divinity. He is the Word who was with God in the beginning and who was God. That's why he can claim to undo death, to have the authority to bring sinners onto his side, to protect them against sin, death, and the devil. But even as God, he couldn't just snap his fingers and make death go away. Our sins deserved and demanded our death. Justice demanded our death. He himself had to taste death for us. Christ came to shed his blood, the priceless blood of God, as you heard the writer to the Hebrews say in the epistle today. Christ came to suffer what we deserved, so that we might inherit what he deserved. To those whom he graciously brings onto his side by baptism, by faith, he offers eternal life. He offers forgiveness. He offers salvation. And he seals it to us here in the sacrament of the altar, where he gives us his true body and blood, once given into death, but now made alive forever and ever. And with the power to make us live forever too. Yes, those are bold claims, unpopular claims. Yes, they fly in the face of human reason. But they are God's words. And we, Christians, believe them. That's why we're not afraid to call Jesus our Lord. Even though it pits us against the majority of mankind that remains on the devil's side, even though it paints a big target on our backs, even as Jesus had one painted on his. That's also why we continue to invite all people to repent and to believe in Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, while there's still time to cross over from the devil's side to the side of God. Two precious children will be baptized here in a moment. marking them as God's own children, putting them on the side of the saints and at enmity with the devil. Their parents will openly confess their faith in Jesus Christ and their oneness with us in the confession of that faith. For this, let us give thanks to God, who continues to preserve for himself a little flock here on earth to stand together with Christ, in Christ, against the devil and his seed. And let us give thanks to the Lord Christ, who continues to build his church on the rock of St. Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The gates of hell will continue to rattle in rage, but they will not prevail against the church of Christ. He is our life. He is our defender. He is our salvation. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.